So what does it look like for you today to tap into heaven's wisdom, the wisdom from above? I'm telling you, it is different than the world's wisdom. Welcome to the Kingdom Life Coaching Podcast. I'm your host, Megan Nilsson, speaker, author, and yes, life coach. We live in a noisy world with a million external influences vying for our attention. This is the space where we can quiet the noise, sort out our thoughts through honest conversation, and discover what it looks like to take aligned, faith-filled action in a world of endless possibilities. Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Kingdom Life Coaching Podcast. I am Megan Nilsson, and as always, I'm just delighted, honored, and happy that you're here with me. I don't take it for granted. I know you have got lots and lots of things vying for your time, lots of options on how you spend it, who you listen to. And so the fact that you would choose to hang out with me and connect in this space is an honor and a gift. So I want to thank you for that. And I am also thankful for those of you that have reached out to me about episode 50, which is the guided journaling session. It's just, again, warms my heart and fills me up to no end to know that this is a space and a place where you can come and really connect with God for yourself. I had a couple of women responding to my reel on Instagram saying, when I was promoting this, saying that it's like a foundational tool. This beautiful exchange journaling is a foundational tool for her to ground herself in the Lord and really connect with Him on a weekly, daily basis. And another woman said that it's like a spa for her soul. So who doesn't need a spa day? I would really love that right about now. But anyway, thank you for your encouragement. And again, if you're hearing this only for the first time, then go back to episode 50, grab your Untangled Faith Journal from Amazon or your own notebook and treat yourself to a soul spa day with Jesus. So anyway, thank you so much. We are in Lent. At the recording of this podcast, we are in Lent, the 40 days leading up to Easter and Jesus's crucifixion, death, and resurrection. And this is the 40-day season in which Christians celebrate that. And celebrate is a big word, especially for Easter. Yes. And we are in a season of lament and kind of wondering, you know, this is a time for us to reset and think, how are we different than the world? How does your faith, or does your faith, how does it differentiate you from someone else? And please do not mishear me. This does not mean, how does my faith make me better than someone else? We are definitely not better than anyone. All of us, every single human being, is made in the image of God, lovely in His sight, fearfully and wonderfully made. Those of us who have chosen to follow Jesus and to submit our lives to this sovereign God, that live in awe and reverence of Him, we are living in the kingdom of God. We are kingdom people. This podcast is called Kingdom Life Coaching. What does that mean? This is the space, I feel like, for me and hopefully for you, where we're going to get to wrestle with that a little bit. How does my belief, my faith in Jesus, your faith in God, how does it shape your life? Does it make a difference? Or do we look the same as everybody else? And so why would anybody care? I mean, I think there's so many people in the world that think, you know, you Christians say that you follow God, that you love Jesus, and that He fills your life and guides you, but your life doesn't look any different than mine. You are broken. You are anxious. You are confused. You know, when the tough gets going, you don't necessarily rely on your God. You still are anxious and stressed out about everything. How does your life look different? So today I want to dive into a passage of scripture that is one of my favorites. And it's kind of a foundational passage for this type of work, for this kind of coaching that I'm doing, kingdom life coaching. You know, when someone says, man, I am in a pickle, I'm in a spot in my life where I'm stressed, I'm confused, I'm overwhelmed. I've got these things that God's talking to me about, but man, I don't know. I don't know how to deal with this relationship the way God wants me to deal with this relationship. I don't know what the next step is in my job. I feel, you know, just bored and restless, but I think God's put some other things in me. So we think, What does God say about this? God, show me the way, right? We want God to show us the way. And so as we're doing this work and really getting clear about the present circumstances, what you're currently experiencing, where you're out of alignment, where some of those things feel super misaligned because you're like, okay, Jesus said that he came to give me full life. And the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Well, I feel like he's killing and destroying a lot of my life right now. So how can I look for Jesus? How can you look for God's hand at work? That's what this work is about. And one of the passages that really is so foundational and super encouraging to me that I come back to time and again is in James chapter 3, towards the end of the passage there. And in one of my Bibles, it's called, the subtitle is Two Kinds of Wisdom. This whole journey of Kingdom Life Coaching is about seeking the wisdom of God, the guidance. When Jesus left this earth, and as he was about to leave, he was telling the disciples, listen, it's actually better if I go. They were so confused. So you can go back into John chapters kind of 13, 14, 15. There's these beautiful passages about Jesus really preparing the soil, preparing the groundwork, preparing his disciples' hearts for what was to come, even though they were completely and utterly flummoxed and confused. But he's saying, it's better if I go because then I can send you the comforter. I can send you the guide, the advocate. He's talking about the Holy Spirit. So now on this side of the cross, death, resurrection, of Jesus Christ, we have the Holy Spirit. You have the Holy Spirit living in you if you are following Jesus and you've said, yes, I cannot do this on my own. I want to submit my life to you. Come, Holy Spirit, guide me, fill me, bring your light into this world. This is your offering. This is the reality of what you can see from God, having God in your life. So how do we find the wisdom? So one of my Bibles says two kinds of wisdom, James chapter 3, verse 13. Another Bible, the Passion Translation, says wisdom from above. So what these two subtitles are indicating to me is that there's a difference. Oh, two kinds of wisdom, wisdom from above. Wait, what do I have right now? Which wisdom am I operating in? Which kind of thought patterns or decision-making skills? What am I operating in now? Is it from the world? Is it from the earth? Or is it from God? So in the Passion Translation, I love reading some different translations, especially when you're listening to it in a different way, because you might be so familiar with the version that you always read of this passage. But I'm going to bring you the Passion Translation to see if it kind of shifts and tills the soil of our brains a little bit and kind of brings in some new revelation. And it says, James chapter 3, verse 13, if you consider yourself to be wise, okay, do you consider yourself to be wise? I hope so, right? I mean, that's what we're going for. We're trying, Jesus. If you consider yourself to be wise and one who understands the ways of God, advertise it. How do we advertise? What does advertise mean? It means to promote something, to show something, to bring a new awareness into somebody's life. So they're saying, hey, if you're wise and you follow God, advertise it. Okay, here is where we need to stop for a second. Because what I'm about to tell you is not how Christians are necessarily, many of them, many of us, okay, I'm going to say us, I'm a Christian. Many of us are not operating in the world because we're like, oh, hey, I'm wise. I know God. I'm going to advertise it. I'm going to tell you that you're wrong and you're going to hell. So there you go. There's your advertisement, right? No, it's not about being loud and brash and bold and judgmental. It is about being beautiful and fruitful. So it says this, advertise it with a beautiful, fruitful life, guided by wisdom's, wait for it, dun, 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 drum roll, please, guided by wisdom's brashness. No, that's not it. Guided by wisdom's thump you over the head and give you a big bruise. Oh, no, that's not it. Guided by wisdom's gentleness. What does it look like for us to be gentle in this world, to get curious and love people and enter into the humanness of what we're all experiencing, of birth, and brokenness and life and death. What does that look like to come into someone's life with gentleness? The passage goes on to say, never brag or boast about what you've done, and you'll prove that you are truly wise. Okay, here is another differentiating factor. It is very commonplace in the world to brag about, to advertise, to market what we've done, to position ourselves higher than someone else. And yet, God's word is saying, no, don't boast or brag. Just live your life, your beautiful, fruitful life in gentleness, and you will prove over time to people that you are wise. My husband loves to read, I think it's Oz Guinness that says this, but I could be butchering the source. I apologize. But it's this long obedience in the same direction. What does it look like to gently, lovingly, humbly follow God and love people to the point where they go, oh, that person is wise because they actually live it. I can actually see the fruit coming from there. Verse 14, but if there is bitter jealousy or competition hiding in your heart, then don't deny it and try to compensate for it by boasting and being phony. If there's bitter jealousy or competition, man, this hits me right in all the feels, right in my heart and mind, because I'm like, oh, how often do I, if I'm honest, if you're honest, live in a place of competition and jealousy and kind of going, oh, wow, you know, start comparing ourselves to other people. That is not kingdom living. That is not kingdom wisdom. Verse 15, for that has nothing to do with God's heavenly wisdom, but can best be described as the wisdom of this world, both selfish and devilish. Wow. James is very clear. He's saying, you want to know what the wisdom from above is? You want to know what the two worlds of wisdom are? I'm going to explain it to you. I'm going to create an image so that you understand the difference. He says, so wherever jealousy and selfishness are uncovered, you will also find many troubles and every kind of meanness. Over and over again, he's saying, we as kingdom people, we as lovers of God, followers of Jesus, we are to be humble and fruitful and gentle. We are not to be selfish or jealous. Why? Because you will find trouble. You will find meanness. Listen, as social media gets bigger and bigger and starts spreading around this world at rapid fire pace, the focal lens on Christians is intense. I'm not saying this to scare you or make you say, you know what, then I'm never going to be on social media again. That's right. I can't say anything. Nobody will listen to me. Or if I say something, then people might be offended. No, if you start saying, I'm not going to be on social media because I can't say what I really think or everybody's going to be offended, then you are falling into the trap. I honestly believe that. That's selfish and devilish, because the devil's like, great. You know what? You stay off of social media. That's right. You just pull back. You just don't go out there. Don't go loving people. Don't go trying to share God's love with people because you can't handle it. You can't do it. No, I truly believe that there is a way that we can do this. And here's what it looks like. So James chapter 3, verses 17, 18. Okay, listen up. But the wisdom from above is always what? Pure, filled with peace, considerate, and teachable. So let's just stop right there. Verse 13, I'm only even halfway through it. Or 17, excuse me. The wisdom from heaven is pure, peace, considerate, and teachable. What does it look like, okay, to go on social media or connect with your family and friends and just be considerate and teachable, filled with peace, wondering, hey, tell me about your life. Tell me about what has happened to you. Where does this brokenness come from? I want to know. I want to enter into your story in a considerate and teachable way. If we come in as divisive people, lacking peace, and certainly not being teachable, we think we know it all, then of course there's going to be division. Of course people are going to say, I don't really want to follow that God because look at those Christians. How can you be teachable today, this week? Teachable means to be open, to be receptive to a teacher, to somebody's coming and saying, hey, this is my experience. And when we're teachable, we say, okay, how can I be open to receiving? How can I open to be learning from you? That is what's going to connect us with other people. Okay, so the wisdom above is also filled with love and never displays prejudice or hypocrisy in any form. Again, what is one of the biggest beefs of people who are walking away from the church, who are unaffiliated, who are non-churched, who say, I don't want to do it that. It's this word hypocrisy, because they have seen prejudice and hypocrisy run rampant in the church, run rampant in believers' lives. And James is saying, don't display prejudice or hypocrisy. So let your yes be yes and your no be no. Let love come from you, because if you are hypocritical and people say, she talks a big game, he speaks a big game, but if you really knew what's going on in their family, if you really knew how they live their life, you would be like, no, that is hypocritical. You say that one thing and you do another. So I am not saying this to shame any one of us. I'm just saying when I read this passage, I feel convicted because I know what goes on in my heart and mind. I know when I get wrapped around the axle, when I get controlling, when I get frustrated, when I get snippy, and when I need to apologize to people so that I can be clear of conscience and not be hypocritical in any form. Verse 18, and it always, the wisdom from above, always bears the beautiful harvest of righteousness. Good seeds of wisdom's fruit will be planted with peaceful acts by those who cherish making peace. So, back to the top of the passage, it said, we advertise the wisdom from above. We advertise God's ways with a beautiful, fruitful life, guided by wisdom's gentleness. Then you pop over to the bottom of this passage in verse 18, and it says that our life, the wisdom from above, always bears a beautiful harvest of righteousness, good seeds of wisdom's fruit will be planted with peaceful acts by those who cherish making peace. This is quite clear. What could it look like for you, for me, for us to plant seeds of goodness because we are making peace with people? I understand that this is a tall order, that there are certain relationships and there are certain people or certain groups in which maybe they're not receptive to making peace. But believe me, Jesus also says that you need to make peace if it is within your power to make peace, to make things right, to reconcile with other people, then do it. If they are not receptive, if it is not within your power, then you can pray. There are many, many, many broken spaces in this world, to include wars, divisions, in which one person, little old me or you, we might not be able to have the impact and the influence that we would want in that space. But Paul reminds us in Ephesians chapter 6 that we don't fight against flesh and blood. We fight in the spirit by prayers, lifting things up to God. God has reminded me again and again, over and over again, Megan, your fight is not against people, or a person, or a child, or a neighbor. The good fight is to be fighting in the spiritual realm, to be praying for those things, for God's supernatural spirit to come in and begin to shift things that I could never in a million years do by myself, begin to create connections and build peace in ways that I could never do by myself. So what does it look like for you today to tap into heaven's wisdom, the wisdom from above? I'm telling you, it is different than the world's wisdom. It is different than the way the world operates. It is different. And here's the deal. Why do some people say that we're so hypocritical? Because they're like, hey, the world can figure out how to love each other. The world can figure out how to be gentle and listen to one another in some ways. And yet you Christians, you can't. What is that? That is mixed up and backwards. And it's really frustrating and it's harmful. It's harmful to hearts and minds, and it's harmful to the church. So in another version that I have, it says, you know, the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. So I don't know where this lands with you today. Clearly, you can tell I get a little passionate about this because I feel like the message that God has given me, the message that he is, the inner work that I am doing is differentiation. What does it look like to be kingdom people and differentiate ourselves from the world? Not again, not to be separated from the world. We are in the world, but not of the world. So this is not a message for you to isolate and separate. That is not what differentiation means. It means that when Jesus came to this earth, he said, listen, the world says this, but I'm bringing you a new way. I'm bringing you a new way of living. Will you see it? Will you receive it? It is totally your choice. So I love you guys. I pray for you as you walk through Lent. And it's a time to reflect and turn toward God again and say, God, how can my life look different because you are in it? Who can add a day to their life by stressing out and anxious worry? I know this is a tall order because there are some big, big, scary, lonely, just painful places. And yet God is saying, if you allow me in it, if you submit, open your heart, walk in peace and humility and gentleness, I will come in. I will take over. I will direct your path so that other people can see that Jesus does make a difference. So as we go from here, trust that you are light in dark places. Why? Because you have Jesus with you. If you are exploring faith and you're like, well, I'm listening to Megan's podcast. I mean, I don't really know what my faith looks like. I mean, I think I grew up in the church. I think I believe in God, but man, some of the things she says, some of the things that I'm hearing from scripture just really makes me wonder, where is my faith now? Then I invite you to schedule a call with me. I have had people that I have walked with who have said, I don't know if the Bible makes a difference in my life. I used to love God and now I don't know how I feel about him. I don't know if I can hear from God. I have heard these things multiple times from women that I have worked with. And yet at the end of the journey, at the end of working together, their heart is softening. Their heart is thawing to the idea that God still has plans and purposes for them, still wants to connect with them and wants to pursue them in a beautiful way for love and redemption and reconciliation in so many areas. So I love you guys. Thanks for hanging out with me. And here is to pursuing wisdom from above. All right. Talk to you later. Thank you so much for listening. If this episode challenged or inspired you, I would be honored if you would rate it and leave a review wherever you listen to podcasts so others can hang out with us too. If you'd like to connect at a deeper level, you can find me on Instagram at Megan_Nilsen or head to my website, meganbnilsen.com, and schedule a free curiosity and connection call. Let's keep the conversation going.